Okay, so we're going to read half the parsha today. First 20 psukim. Okay? Remember, this is coming after Kisavo. This is coming after the blessings and the curses, right? Pars Kisavo. Pars Kisavo is all about, right, if you, the whole covenant that they entered into. Right? If you do the mitzvah, it should be a war. If you don't do the mitzvah, it should be punished. Right? So now we begin Nitzavim. I'm going to read this quickly because I want to get a feel for this. Right, you're standing before God. All of you are standing before God. Right? Why are you all standing? Okay, you're all here to enter into a treaty with God. Right? He's going to be for you. He's going to establish you as a nation. He's going to be your God. Right? And then in the next pasuk, I'm not merely entering into the covenant with you. Because he's entering the street not just with you, but also those who aren't here today. Because you know, that you lived in Egypt and you passed by all these nations, and you saw their idols. Okay, so penyesh bachem ish o isho mishpacho o shevet, lest there be amongst you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe. Maybe there's some among you who doesn't want to follow, who wants to go off the derech. And then, and when he hears all the curses, and he will say, everything will be good for me. I'll follow my own wayward path. What does the pasuk say? Lo yavashim slachlo. Hashem's not going to listen to him. He's not going to forgive him. And then he goes, Hashem's ajeshan, Hashem vikinaso ba'eshahu, v'rabso bo kolaksu v'sevarzem mocha Hashem shum medach shemayim. Okay, Hashem's not going to be nice to him. He's going to, Hashem's going to be, his anger is going to be fury, going to be smoking, and then his jealousy, he's going to be jealous of this person, as it were, and he's going to, you know, he's going to give him all the curses, and he's going to blot his name out. Okay? So that is the first. That's the first 10 psukim. Now, how is this any different than what we heard in Kisavo? Is it like, in other words, all of Parshas Kisavo is about if you do the mitzvot, you get all these rewards, and if you sin, you're gonna be punished. So now we're saying, oh, lest someone thinks that he won't be punished, he's gonna be punished. Like, how is this adding to Parshas Kisavo?
More individual?
So you're saying, so it might be an individual. So what are you saying? So Kisavo is saying that what?
Israel.
You say the nation, and maybe here we're saying, maybe there's a guy who will say, like, yeah, everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is observing the Torah, and I can sort of
coast,
basically.
This is about being a fisherman of clothes.
Being a fisherman of clothes, to be a fisherman of seaport. You're saying, like, Like, in what way? I mean, religiously, you're saying.
Religiously. It's, you don't get to choose individually with regard to that.
Right. You know, as you're saying, Kisavo is saying, is addressing the nation as a whole. And here, there might be an individual who will say,
I don't want to be part of that
nation. I don't want to be part of that nation. It doesn't work, for you either. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, we'll see that. And then, what's interesting is, there's another Tempsukim. And then Tempsukim say, Vomar Hador Achron, B'necham Shekum Echrechem. And then another generation will say, your children who rose after you, Vanachu Yeshivo Meres Vechoka, and the non-Jew came from a faraway land, Vros Makos Haaretz Ahi, Vez Tachuev Asher Chila Hashem Ba, and he's going to see all the plagues that Hashem will bring about the land. Gafri Sa Melach Sivikol Hatzah, Lotus Meach Velo Yalag Kol Esev, Kamapichos Stom Amora Admo Tzvoyim Asher Fach Hashem Bapo Bechamaso. So then, wait, they're going to see something happening to the entire land. So this seems to be happening to the whole land. When your children, the next generation, arise, or the non-Jew comes, and they're going to see that the whole land is like sulfur and salt. Reminds me of like Sodom and Amorah, and they can't grow any land. And they're going to say, What happened to this? What's all this anger? And they'll say, because they left the treaty of Hashem, their God, because they worshiped other gods. Right? And then, and Hashem brought about this curse, etc., etc. And the last pasuk, Hanis Taros LaHashem Elokeinu, that which is hidden belongs to God. Vaniglos, that which is revealed, Lanu Vani Adolam, is for us and for our children. That's called Dira Torah Zot, to do all this Torah. So these psukim seem to, you might be right, that it seems the first section is talking about the individual. So what's this section all about? The nation, right? So how is that like compared to Kisav? Like, so why do we need this? In other words, I hear what you're saying. The first half.
You might think that the rules only apply if you're part of the nation, if you accept upon yourself to be part of the nation.
Right.
But we're saying you don't get to choose whether to be part of the nation. You've been chosen.
So that's the first half.
Right.
And then the next half.
The rules apply. And then the second half is these are the natural consequences if you still choose to be mafish from the seabor.
But this seems to be like the whole seabor.
Well, if people do that in mass, it's going to
right. But I'm saying we
result naturally.
Right, they did that in Kisavo. Didn't we do this in Kisavo already? And saying like it's okay, maybe. So you have to think about that. I want to right. So when it says a few other things, I want to think about. But I want to build on what you're saying here. Why mention those who are not here today? Like the treaty, it's interesting, right? The pasuk Pilgrim say, I'm making a treaty for everyone here, everyone who's not here as well. Isn't the notion of a treaty that's with everyone?
Well, so normally people have to agree to a treaty.
So this is like force. So they
this is force. You're being selected. It's you don't get to opt.
Truth is a treaty. No one really get the next generation doesn't get to accept if like two countries enter into a treaty, it's binding upon every citizen of that nation. Even ones who are born later, right?
That's the way we interpret it today.
Right. Okay, I hear. So now, okay. So the main focus I want to, and it was interesting, by the way, from the singular to the plural. I think you read the first ten about the singular, next ten about the masses, and it seems like one seamless transition. They're not two separate sections, right? It goes. First, speaking to the individual who thinks he can escape, as you mentioned, from the group, and then you're addressing the group. And it's one section, so it tells one story. So we have to sort of create one story here. And the main thing I want to ask is, what does it mean that which is hidden is to God, and that which is revealed is for us? What do you think that last sentence means? That which is hidden is for Hashem, and that which is revealed is for us. What do you think that means? What's hidden? What's revealed?
Hidden might be people's thoughts.
So people's thoughts are hidden, and therefore what? So
they don't try to judge them on the basis of their thoughts. That's for God to do. But
okay. Question: how does that connect with the? I mean, it's a nice idea. Question: how does that connect with this bizarre thing? Right. You're saying that if someone openly does something bad, so then like you can judge them, but don't judge them if they're. You can't judge their thoughts. Go and judge what they do or what's revealed. Okay, but how does that fit into this whole? Okay. But it's a nice thought. Okay, so I'm gonna try to read this section of this Hanistaros. What the message here? I'm gonna share with you two different ways to read this. So first, I think you're absolutely correct. I think that the beginning of Nitzavim is talking to the guy who thinks that Hashem's talking to them and not to me, and I can. And I can sort of like escape. I can be like, I can do my thing. And like the nation, Rubo Kakulo, the masses are observing. You know what it's like? Any of you follow baseball? Right? So like no one focuses on the players who are doing bad. But, when the team is doing good. No, when the team is doing good. When the team is doing good, I won't say nobody's focusing. When the team's doing really well, okay, this one, okay, he's hitting, 150 during this stretch. Okay, no one's like, but the whole team around him is doing well. Like, the rest of the team is carrying him. Okay. Oh, right. Assume, right. So assume you're not part of a fantasy. That's a fair point, right. So assume you're not part of the fantasy league. So that's a big assumption nowadays, right? Everything's friendly. But we don't care about, like, the group's doing fine, so the individual, not a big deal. So I think that's what we're targeting here. And that's exactly Ibn Ezra. Look at what Ibn Ezra says. Vatam shalom yali, afal pi shelach bishur slim, I'm going to follow my wayward path. Kibet sitka satadiki bechya. I'm going to live by the righteousness of the righteous people. You know, I always have this weird vision of, like, you know, you have to say, like, tefillas aderech, you know, when you're on a plane. So, like, what happens if, like, one person said, one person does it? Like, it's like half the plane is going to crash, and everyone's like, not, like how's it going to work? Like, so the guy said, you know, everyone around me is saying tefillas aderech, you know, so, like, nothing's going to happen to me, right? Kehem rabim, vani yochid choteh, I'm an individual sitting, okay, in cause of achra, lo yaveh Hashem sloch. No, Hashem's not going to listen to him. Right? Because then Hashem's going to anger at this individual. Ramban says a similar idea. Ramban says, V'omar pen yesh b'chem asher levavo pone ayom. Maybe there's a person whose heart turns to this day. Al ha nifteh kvar levodazara v'hu b'libo mamin hayom hazeh. So someone has already turned. So either someone who now believes, when Moshe is speaking, if someone now believes in a vodazara, oh, pen yeshachem b'chem shorish ra. Maybe you have a bad root. She yifrach v'yishge v'yomim habayim yotzei prachim ra'im v'yatzmich mirorot. Sorry, my glasses. So he says maybe you're talking to someone. Maybe right now there are people here who want to worship idolatry, or someone who, like, he has an inclination, is a bad root, is going to flourish in the future. That's what he says. Asher einin omed po hayom. So he's speaking to the people here, but maybe someone here who right now he believes, but there's something, like, you know, Yetzer Hara is tugging at him to. He has a bad root, and he mentions the root because that could lead to, or maybe that root will lead to future generations, you know, falling off the derech. Okay, the Malbim then says, so how does this first half? So you talk about individuals may think they can get out. Maybe the individuals think that they can avoid any type of punishment, right? And Hashem says, no, I'm going to get angry at them. So how does the second half of the section continue the story of the first half? So v'amar dor acharon, yavo acharei, she's kaiba brachos v'klolos. So after the brachos and klolos are fulfilled, v'lo yale b'libam shemeata nispatlu divrei habris, and they won't think that the words of the covenant will be canceled. Lozem modiam b'mofes meone shegia bavonam, and people will think like that I won't be punished anymore by their sins. Shalokeh, it's not the case. Raka bris omedes b'tokva v'kevus lad. Don't think that.
It's not a single instance. It's perpetual.
Right. Don't think right now you get some blessings and curses, and now that's it. We're good to go. In the modern times, you know, we don't have to observe. The Malbim, of course, are living in the height of the 19th century, the height of the Reform movement. So he's like, don't think, like, you know, we're post-rabbinic now. We're in a new era, we're in a modern era. So don't think that. And admit the Torah applies forever. He says, Shemin haroi haya lahadish osam ba'atzman ba'odesh chamur kashonash zayin ha'umo shosu ha'toivos baretz v'kol sam haretz Hema hochulibu. Don't think, okay, right, because Hashem punished very severely, like the seven nations, and the land was totally destroyed. Varis nishara purya zav v'chalav dvash, and now the land is remaining, you know, flowing with milk and honey. V'ata haya behefech. Not just the opposite. She shomeim es haaretz k'mapechaston v'amora. Right, the k'mapechaston that now is going to be totally overturned. V'espenei Israel. So you might think now we've been exiled, we've been thrown out of the land in Parsky Savo. That's it. We don't follow the mitzvahs anymore. It's done, right? There's no more covenant, right? Now Kisavo happened, right? The covenant, the curse of Kisavo happened. We were exiled from the land. Then we're done, right? Individuals can say maybe we don't have to follow, and maybe the masses can say that, you know what, we're in another time period, so we weren't destroyed, we're still around, so maybe the covenant doesn't apply anymore. We're still around. We haven't assimilated with the other nations. And we're still in our state of chashivus. So don't think that because you're in exile and it's been thousands of years, so therefore the covenant's gone. I want to tell you something. We wouldn't be here if not for God. We defy history. It doesn't make sense. It's such a small nation like ours is still here. No, God's still here, and God is with us among in the exile. And God seeks our tshuva so we can return to our place. Hashem made the land desolate. The reason why Hashem made our soil desolate so no one else would live there. The land is living, forsaken. It's sort of like where the husband leaves and the wife is simply, the husband leaves overseas, the wife is just waiting for him, forlorn. That's Eretz Yisrael. She's waiting for us to return. Right? She's still waiting for us. So don't think, Malbim is saying that don't think, you're right, number one, these individuals think it doesn't apply. Not individuals, the masses shouldn't think that maybe later on in history, we're done. We've had the brachos, we've had the klolos, we're a new period of history, it doesn't apply anymore. That's not the case. If you turn,
that would explain the guy Nister Os Lashem
Okay. Well, what's in Nister Os? Yeah?
When he's Nister, that's for Hashem. But it's Nigla, though everything that Hashem's doing, that's for the people.
So Nister, what are you saying? What's hidden?
When Hashem is acting behind the scenes.
Oh, okay. So you're saying Nister Os is the golos?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see. Someone says it. Is the Malbim says it? So the Malbim, yeah, very good. So let's look. Turn the page here. Hanis Daros. Let's turn the page here. Ata Yeshiva Ashila Lemor Shebe Ba Benyan Golus Yisrael V'Shimas Aretz Yesh Bezeh Tamim Nistarim. So why are we in Golus? There are hidden reasons. Ashirak LaShem Elokeinu LeGolusenu LiRev Right V'Hadniglos. Okay, so number one, there are reasons why we're still in Golos, but they're hidden from us. By Niglos, Ma Shenasam LeGolos Hu Ladu V'Yadolam. In other words, what he's saying is that which is revealed to us, that is for us and for our children forever. Bishvil Sha'af Achar Shegalidu, even after we're exiled, May our tzedek from our land, but Kayim Ba Kol Divrei Bris, and all the words of the covenant were fulfilled. Odim Mechuyavim. We have to fulfill the entire Torah. Even in Golos, we're with him. He's our God that guards us, right? So what he's saying here is the following: the Malbim is saying that in exile things are hidden, and even if we don't understand, we still have to keep the Torah even in exile. So one way of looking at this is that we're saying that again that. Again, individuals, like the Kisavo, yeah, it applies. We know it applies to Klal Yisrael. Maybe individuals later on will say it doesn't apply to me. Maybe the masses will say it doesn't apply at a later point in history. So we're saying even when we live in a world of Nistar that only God knows, we still have to keep the Torah. Okay? When it's Nigla, we have to keep it, but even if we don't understand, we still have to keep the Torah.
I think he's going further than just a stom later point in history. It's a later point in history where you can clearly see either a bracha or a klala was fulfilled.
Right. It's done. So we should be... So we're saying the priest doesn't apply anymore.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's right. Yes. In other words, after we've been exiled, and like, mm-hmm. We're done. We've seen it. So cool. I think that's right. Rabbeinu Bachaye says... He said, I heard the name of the Rambam. He first wants to say the Rambam. He wants to say Nisos Hashem, Yomar, Solus HaTorah. He just wants to say you have to keep the secrets of the Torah that you don't know the reason. And he wants to say that the Niglos is what we understand. But he's not sure if that really fits into the whole Parsha. Right? In other words, the Nistri should keep the hidden mitzvos and keep the ones we understand when we don't understand. But he says, like, how does that fit into the Parsha? So Ben Chai says, maybe it means like this. Sort of he wants to say that, similar to the Malbim, he says, whether you're living in a time of Nistaros, which is the Golos, whether we're living in the time of the Niglos, which is the Gula, you always have to keep the Torah. So maybe, in other words, you could look at the Nistaros as The hidden thing is the hiddenness of exile, the hiddenness of the Torah, and we always have to keep it. We always have to keep the Torah even if we don't understand. We have to keep the Torah even if we don't understand why Hashem is doing what he's doing to us in Galus. We always have to keep it. In other words, the blessing and curse in Parsha Kisavo apply to me all the time. I can't say I can be absorbed within the Tzibur. I can't say it doesn't apply at this time. That I, what we said in Kisavo goes for all times. Okay? That's one approach. However, Rashi, I think, takes a different approach. Because Rashi is saying, I think, there's another way of looking at this. Rashi says, Hanisos Hashem Elokeinu. Vim Tomron, if you say, Ma biyadeinu lasos, what can we do? Anachnu manish es harabim al hirhurei hayachid. You are punishing the masses because of thoughts of an individual. What's he saying? Hashem, he's saying, why, Hashem, are you punishing us, the community, for what the individual is doing? So how's he reading text between the first half and the second half? First half is talking about the individual. There's an individual who thinks, I don't have to follow this. So the question is, what is society's role in ensuring that individuals is keeping? In other words, Kisavo could be, Hashem is telling Klai Yisrael, you, Klai Yisrael, have to follow the covenant. And then the question becomes, what is my responsibility as a good Jewish citizen? Is my responsibility as a good Jewish citizen to do what I got, to do my part, to make my contribution? Do I have any responsibility for the broader tzibur? We don't have concepts of Kol Yisrael Reim Zevazeh, we're responsible for other Jews, Mitzvah of Tochacha, like all these things. Like, what's our responsibility? So like, Kisavo is like this theoretical, right? You have to observe the Torah. If you don't, right? Everyone has to observe. Everyone's going to be rewarded or punished. Now we're going to the real stuff, Nisavim. Even if majority of people are doing the right thing, there could be one person who's going to say, I don't need to do anything. Hashem's going to punish those people. Question is, what's our responsibility? What's the masses' responsibility? Because here, the second half is saying, you know what, Hashem may destroy, remember we said Hashem's going to destroy, turn the land into Sodom and Amorah. Hashem's going to destroy the society. Why is Hashem going to destroy society for what one person did? So Rashi, I think, is addressing that. He says, why are you punishing the masses on what one individual does? That's what the second half is all about.
But the first half, he says that he's not going to destroy society. He's going to destroy those
individuals. This individual. And now he's turning. So in the second half now says, and the next generation, your kids and the non-Jew are going to come, and they're going to say, Makos ha'aretz ahi ves tachlo Hashem chil haba. We're talking about Hashem destroying the land, turning into sulfur and salt, the land won't be able to grow, and it's going to be like Sodom and Amorah, and the late night she's going to see, why does Hashem do this?
That's because Israel is sin, not because there's an individual who has sin.
Right, but the question is, like, how does that fit? How is that a seamless transition? Like, how is that different than Kisavo? Kisavo basically says, Kisavo is talking about, the nation does mitzvahs, they're going to be rewarded. The nation sins, they're going to be punished. And the land's going to be destroyed. And eventually they're going to be exiled. Now we're repeating it again here. So why are we repeating it again? So I think what Rashi's getting at is he's telling, Kisavo says each individual has to make sure that they do their part to make sure that they keep the Torah so Hashem destroy the nation.
Is this just Rashi darshaning the extra word kulchem?
But I think...
In a different context.
But I don't need kulchem
after an etzav mayam.
Right. I think that's true, but I think it's more than that. I think it's the fact that you're going from the singular to the plural. In other words, like Mark's saying, well, he's punishing the masses, but I'm wondering, how isn't this Kisavo all over again? So I think what Rashi is picking up on is that it has to be different. So Rashi is telling a story here. There's all one piece here. The individual thinks, I can do what I want. Shem's going to punish him. But now, if the nation sees that the whole world destroyed, why? Because the whole nation was sitting. So why is the whole nation? Right? V'alo eindam yodea. And the pasuk says, V'akach v'aro was makos aretz ahi. V'alo eindam yodea. T'munosav shel chaver. No one knows what his friend's thinking in private. I'm not going to punish you on Nista Rose. Shehein LaShem Elokeinu Vuhi Yifrah Me'Oso Yachid. Hashem's going to punish them. In other words, it's Hanisro LaShem Elokeinu. It's not talking about me that I have to keep the Torah. Right? I have to keep even the Nistaros. Or I have to keep it even in Gullus. Right? So no. Hanistaros, what's my responsibility to try to effectuate society? I can't be held responsible for what someone does in the privacy of his own home. That I can't do. Right? However, Avah Niglos, Lot of Livare Rabbi Kibbeinu. Yeah, we have to uproot evil from our midst. Vimlona said, Din Bohem Yen Shus Rabbi. If we don't do this, Hashem's going to punish the Rabbi. Right? Lot of Lidro Sha'af al Niglos, Lo Arash as a Rabbi. Oh, this points out until they cross the Jordan River. Once they cross the Jordan River, then they were Arabians that was there. They were responsible for each other. In other words, Kisavo is a punishment for a lot, Klal Yisrael as a whole, not keeping the Torah. Tzavim is a punishment for making individuals who are doing the right thing, saying, you know what, this guy's doing the wrong thing, I can pay a blind eye. We have a responsibility to try to impact the society for the good. Obviously, within reason, what can you do? Is it possible, not possible? So I think that what the Torah is here is getting at is really this... that again, there might be a rotten apple, but we have to try to impact other people to the best we can. We can't this idea of live and let live to the extent possible. This again, they're coming into Eretz Yisrael. We want coming to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem's not Hashem will take care of the hidden stuff, but a nation means that we are responsible to try to have a mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. It's my responsibility for me as an individual. And to the extent I can influence others, it's my responsibility to influence others. So I think there are really two approaches to understand this. I think there's one approach to understand this is that the first half of this section is talking to individual who thinks he can get away from the klal. And then maybe the next half is talking about that maybe the masses thinking when the era of Kisavo is over. And we're telling, no. Even though our history might be hidden, even though I don't understand the Torah, even though stuff is hidden, you got to always follow the Torah. Another way of looking at this, though, is that we're going from individuals making sure that they're observing the Torah to trying to help facilitate a Mamlechas Kohanim Goy Kadosh and understand the reality there will be individuals who will turn aside and we have to try to bring them back.